With that being said, I'll take a quick roll here. This is the Sustainability Commission meeting on August 9th, 2022. Chairperson Simon? Commissioner Charette?
Yes.
Here.
Commissioner Clancy? McLean?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts? Easy. Mr. Meyer? Great.
Here.
Susan, did you want to kind of drive, or do you want me to roll through the agenda here?
Well, why don't you start it off, because the first one is Soul Smart, which I don't know much about.
I have nothing about Soul Smart on this agenda.
Oh, okay. I was working off of the notes that Eric sent us, but is that maybe that's more of his Is that more of his commissioner's report?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, since you have the agenda in front of you, go for it.
Okay. So
why don't we do this? Why don't you run the agenda and I'll give Eric's report? How about that? Okay.
Fair enough. So public comment, there was none shared with staff prior to tonight's meeting. So with that being said, we kind of roll right into commissioner report. So I can read it, Susan, or do you want to read Eric's?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and read it, since I don't really know what's going on.
So this is Chairman Simon's notes. He was unable to make it here tonight on last minute's notice, so he shared an update with staff. He says, I met with Jeff V this week on Soul Smart, and this is his update. So if the board approves the ZBA recommendation at their August 22nd meeting, we will move forward and submit our application to Soul Smart for silver designation. Don't know how long the review of the application and all the accompanying backup takes, but we'll find out. There is one major requirement for us to be eligible for gold, which is a reduction in fees, and it has to be less than $500. And he indicates that we will push for much less than that. And the application turnaround time is a maximum of 3 days. And we will work with the village on that, as it's a budget issue, and we'd like to have it as part of the next budget approval process, so heading into next year. So just a little more background. The Soul Smart is a community designation. The one hang up holding the village up from moving to a silver designation was recently, it was a text amendment for the ordinance, and that was recently approved by the ZBA. So as this update indicates, it just has to go to the board on the 22nd for final approval. And assuming that gets approved, we can send in that application, and that should get us over the finish line for a silver designation. So now they're kind of eyeballing things that we can do to get even further along and achieve a gold designation.
Do you know what the fee is right offhand? Do you know what the fee is right now?
For a solar permit, I do not.
Okay. I just wondered how far off we were from the 500.
Yeah, it's scope specific. So depending on how much electrical work is involved and how much you're running through the house, you have to upgrade a panel. They're kind of differing factors. And then on top of that, we occasionally have plan reviews that go out to a consultant. So if there's a third party review, those are usually absorbed by the village for single family residential properties, but for commercial or institutional properties, those are pass through fees as well. So like I said, a few different elements there.
Okay.
His next update is yay on the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the biggest climate legislation ever passed. It is sweeping and covers everything from environmental justice and equity to electrification and water conservation. There will be things in this that will benefit all of us as individuals and the village. And it will take a while for the government to sort out all the details and processes, and we will all start reading more and more about this more and more detail about what this is. This is a big opportunity for this commission to take advantage of the programs for municipalities, of which there will be a lot, so let's stay tuned. His next update is that we need to transition responsibility for managing e-newsletter content to another commissioner. Beth has been very gracious in doing this along with all the other communication tasks, but it is unfair at this point. Please let us know offline if you are interested, and we will come up with a training and transition plan. And his final update is he attended the Greentown meeting along with Kathy and Lisa. We are well represented with the West Suburban Cook County Greentown Initiative, which includes us, Broadview, Maywood, and Oak Park. Greentown is a national program focused on the climate crisis, social equity, and economic development, and how addressing these three issues are crucial for our planet and our region. Greentown is an experience designed to help create healthy, sustainable communities. Our goal is to put together a big network of residents, business leaders, activists, etc. Each Greentown is customized to the needs of the host community or communities. Greentown 2023 will engage hundreds of participants from the Chicagoland area, develop and implement a sustainability plan which is holistic, thoughtfully designed, and persistently implemented, and produce a Greentown experience with engaging events leading up to Greentown, which involves the community to create change and a sustainable region. More to come on that as well. That is the conclusion of Chairman Simon's update. Since you're in the room, you want to go to yours next?
I don't have a specific report, just agenda items.
Okay, fair enough. Susan, Carey, anything you want to share?
Not right now, no.
I attended a Planet Green meeting. Let's see, there was talk about electric vehicles. There are currently 643 EVs in Oak Park, 4 million light vehicles in Illinois. They talked about the rebate. I didn't realize on the rebate, because I didn't see it, that there seems to be a means aspect to it. It's not just sort of the first ones in, so that was news to me. And I don't know if you all saw, but it was just in the news that there's a tipping point where there's 5% of new sales are electric vehicles, which has been reached. And I guess it's some kind of indication to the automakers that, you know, this is something that will continue to grow. They're all looking for growth, and so there's expected to be a great increase in production. And I think the Inflation Reduction Act just adds to that. They also talked about the cross-community climate agreement, which we've already discussed. Maywood, I think some of the principal ones, sorry, not Maywood, the principal ones are Oak Park, River Forest, and Broadview. That's about it. I shared our single-use foodware, asked for people, you know, for people's help in actually enforcing it, and that's it.
Next up on the agenda, we have the...
I have an update.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go for it. Yeah, sure.
Is it okay if my buddy AJ over there talks for a second? He's interested in being the next commissioner after I graduate for student.
Tell you what, sit at one of those end chairs and I'll get your mic.
Hello. I am thinking of becoming the next student representative. I'm currently going into eighth grade.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your work on the environmental club?
Yeah. So I'm currently part of Roosevelt Middle School's Environmental Sustainability Club. We worked on getting composting back into my school. We are going to do a tree planting project next year, and we are still thinking of other things we can do to help around River Forest.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. It's great to see things are still continuing along at Roosevelt, and for your interest, I'm not Jeff, and Eric will have to tell you what the process is for applying for the seat and all of that, but it's really good to be here. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you. I applaud you in all your efforts. You're so young. Thank you.
That's okay. That is pretty much it, but I'm a big AJ fan. I think he would be a great addition to the committee.
Thank you. And I should, as long as we're talking about changing faces, the village, I will throw in a quick update here about permanently filling the staff position here. The village has made an offer to a gentleman by the name of Seth. I believe his last name is Jansen. He's accepted the offer. He's signed on the dotted line. So we're just taking care of some administrative tasks. But by the end of the month, he should be on board. So your September meeting, we should have, I will attend that one and kind of we'll transition at the September meeting. But it's our hope that Seth would then kind of take over this commission and kind of carry you guys forward from there. So more to follow on that at your September meeting. Nobody else that I skipped. Special event discussion. So is that something you want to take, Beth?
Yes. I can't say that I have done a lot on this since the last meeting. I wanted to call the library and see if they would be interested in co-sponsoring. And since we don't have a quorum, I know we're not going to make a decision, but last time it was kind of very randomly brought up. So I would just be interested in a little more input. At this point, it seems like it will be difficult to put anything together for September. I had hoped to do it when the weather was nice and we could be outside. But I think the two questions to get input on are just, first, is there enough interest in the concept for me to pursue it further, either as like a spring event or something that, you know, happens inside if it is too cool by the time we plan it? And my general idea was just a very casual occasion to share sustainability stories, and including things that worked or things that didn't work. And what kind of brought it on was two things. One is this really lively discussion that happened one time between, I think it was Carrie and Susan, or Carrie and, I don't know, it was about the NOMO, you know, May thing. You got really animated just sharing the stories about what did and didn't work. And I just think a lot about how our communication, while critical in the e-newsletter and all of that, it's one way and it's passive. And I, for one, would love to just get to know more of my fellow village residents who are trying things. I know when I was first getting started with composting, I'd have Julie Moeller come over and answer some questions for me because I had like maggots in the bottom of the bin and it was really turning me off. I've been struggling with setting up a rain barrel and having all kinds of problems. And I just thought it would be fun, you know, to do something casual. I don't want it to be like a big thing that takes like a lot of time and structure to organize. I think we just, you know, pitch it as sharing sustainability stories. So that's the concept. And I guess first question is just, is there any interest in developing it further?
I think that this would be a great idea. And if you need any help, I could, since school's about to start, I could get some of the kids who work on the newsletter for OPRF to get it out there. And I could probably get some time in the OPRF cafeteria if we didn't, if we needed a place to host it. Because there's like a stage and microphones.
Okay, cool.
I think it's a great idea, really, Beth. I mean, it's a nice idea. And how it's organized so everyone has a talk, or if there's, you know, a panel discussion, it seems, I don't know if there's just a round chair set up, if there's only a few people, I don't know, but it sounds like a great idea.
I was actually not thinking of a panel discussion. I wasn't thinking of this as like, oh, let's have a topic and have somebody present on it. I was thinking of it more as like a round robin, you know, lightning round thing. It would depend on how many people came, right? Like if it was a relatively small group, you could go around, everybody could share one story of a success, one story of a failure. If it's a larger group, you could just say, you know, turn to your neighbor or, you know, like the three people closest to you and share stories. I mean, it all depends on how many people there are. So it's like the experts, like we're the experts, right? We're all the experts in whatever it is that we tried to do. You know, like I've got these little compostable bags that I really like to use, and I could bring them and say, hey, this is what I use because I don't like not having a liner in my bag or in my bucket. And, you know, somebody else can share some other tidbit. And
maybe we should shoot for the spring then. Mm-hmm. Or if Ellie can, you know, sounds like you run OPRF, Ellie. So maybe you can, you know, yeah, you can get the teacher's lounge for us.
What do you think, Susan?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I always think the sooner the better if we can get it up and running. And I can report back on my zero waste challenge because I just canceled my waste haul service. Which
what?
Is a thing. Yes. Yes.
Sorry, you canceled what?
My waste haul service.
What are you going to do with all your egg cartons?
Egg cartons? What do you mean my egg cartons?
You like, you're not going to have zero, you're going to have zero garbage?
Egg cartons are compostable.
Oh, well, yeah. Some of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you buy the compostable ones, they're compostable. that's in your control.
Right. Wow, good for you. Are you writing a journal about it?
I was thinking about it. I was trying to think about how to what worked, what didn't work. But
mm-hmm.
I have a feeling there'll be a small bag that shows up at work once a week. But
good for you.
Well, there
that's,
you go.
That's pretty exciting.
Flopped a story. Who is somebody else on the phone, Jeff, or is that?
That's the room.
Oh, that's the room.
Yeah,
okay.
Right,
well, so I don't know. Without a quorum and without the input of our esteemed chair, although I think he said he was supportive of the idea at the last meeting.
I think it's a great idea.
And
okay, you know,
I don't think
I don't think it has to be a big deal. I mean, I think if you could get a room at the library. It could even be, it could even be like a monthly chat kind of thing and build it up over time.
Yeah, we could see how the first one goes. I mean, since Ellie is offering the high school and sort of publicity through the high school, I guess that would be the easy route, right? And
it would be nice to have a lot of students involved.
Yeah, if it was nice enough weather-wise, I don't know if there's an option to, there isn't really space outside of the high school, is there, like for... or anything?
There's space, but I don't know if it would be like, it's like lunch tables, like little lunch tables.
Yeah, so if we did it in the cafeteria, I mean, we can talk offline about details.
I would just need some notice.
Right. So I'm like, just trying to remember the setup, but okay. So like, if we're doing it inside, then we don't have to get it done by September, right? Like it could be October, because I think you need people to get back to school, and we'd had to come up with a fun little title and description and put it through our own publicity. So what do you think about that, like aiming for October?
Yeah, definitely. I could also, once the environmental club is in session, I can talk to them about it.
Hey, I love nothing more than coming up with an idea and having like another group decide that they want to run with it. So if the high school environmental club kind of wants to, you know, co-sponsor it with the Sustainability Commission and we get the word out, and you know, then like I said, usually like we need to come up with a catchy title and a little blurb description and then get the word out, and then there is this just sort of organizing what I call like the run-up show, right? Like somebody's got to get up and MC it and say this is how it's going to work. So if you think that the environmental club would be interested in kind of, you know, thinking that through, that would be awesome. So I can update Eric after the meeting, and as long as he's okay with us running with it, why don't I talk to you offline, Ellie, and see how to move it forward. And anybody that has fun title ideas, you know, I was thinking of like something about swapping sustainability stories, but okay, thanks.
Okay, next we've got just a quick staff update. We kind of briefly discussed artificial turf in the village at the last meeting. So I've done a little bit of digging in the meantime. 9 years and change that I've been here, I'm not aware of any restrictions that the current ordinance places on artificial turf. We've got two fields, as far as I know, Keystone Park. The park district put in a turf baseball field a couple of years ago. And the Fenwick Field up at the Priory campus. There's a soccer field at the southeast corner, right at Division and Harlem, that is also artificial turf. So
doesn't
those two projects.
Doesn't Dominican also have a turf field?
over at their main campus? Yeah, they might. The soccer field might very well be turf. That might have been before my time or a long time ago.
They do. And so we have Fenwick, you've got Dominican, you've got Keystone. You also have a lot of sport courts in people's backyards.
Oh.
Sport courts, which are basically, if you look at like basketball, you know, kind of multi-use things. So it's not a new.
And they have turf around it?
No, they actually have hard surface that's permeable.
So, you know, the current ordinance, just from a development standpoint, the current ordinance just does not prohibit it, doesn't restrict it in any regard. It really just doesn't address it, frankly. So the only update I have, that was the question at the last meeting. And as of right now, anybody who would like to put turf in their yard or at their location is technically allowed to by ordinance.
One question, but they have to put it in place with, like, in alignment with the amount of surface that can be permeable or impermeable, correct?
So yes and no. When it gets to outdoor living space, so to speak, there's really no limit in our ordinance as far as how much hardscape you can put in your yard. So some people could put, they want to put a patio in the size of their entire yard. Technically, the ordinance says that you can. To rephrase that, the ordinance doesn't say that you can't. Very different distinction there. The only caveat is that you can't adversely impact neighboring properties or the public right away from a stormwater runoff perspective. So in that regard, it becomes this, it's a very nebulous thing to try to regulate. We don't have thresholds as far as just straight paving. Difficult at times, but I would also look at that as the village engineer and say, okay, but you know, artificial turf, while it has its drawbacks from a stormwater standpoint, it's a permeable surface. That's not a problem. That's a lot of people put really large patios in their yards. That becomes a problem because it creates a lot of runoff and point discharges. So it's kind of a give and a take in that regard.
So then wouldn't a better action be to try to address the amount of permeable versus impermeable surface versus turf versus not turf? Because as long as it's permeable, like that, I think to me, this is just a vote of ones, is the bigger issue for me because of runoff and things like that. We want to make sure that the water has a place to go. You know, and again, that encompasses turf, it encompasses sport courts, it encompasses patios, etc.
Absolutely. You know, a few years ago, and I think it was prior to your becoming a trustee, the staff had presented some stormwater ordinance changes to the village board, and we were basically trying to align our ordinance better with the MWRD, who is a regional sewer body. They have their own ordinance that we are subject to, and then the village has a separate ordinance. So when a big development came in, our ordinance was really antiquated. Now developers were having to deal with two different ordinances, two different requirements, a lot of moving targets. So we said, well, let's align ours. The MWRD had just updated theirs. We said, let's update ours to better align with the MWRD. At that time, we also tried to begin, implement some stormwater kind of regulations on a single family residential basis, putting more than 1,000 square feet of impervious in your yard, or if you're covering more than half of your lot or more, you need to provide X amount of storage per square foot of impervious that you have. It didn't have a lot of support, and there are various reasons why, and cost for homeowners was one of them. But now we're at a point where the village has spent a lot of money on a sewer separation project up north back in 2014, 2015. We're kind of towards the tail end of a stormwater master plan that the board will be seeing in the coming months. So we're investing as a municipality a lot into stormwater management. I think, you know, personally, as long as we're doing the vote of one thing, I would love to have some sort of clear threshold for you can cover this much of your lot and you have to accommodate, you know, your neighbors for any additional coverage that you want to implement. Getting to that point is going to be tricky, but because we're in this stormwater master plan study, one of the things we're having the consultant look at is our current ordinance and whether or not we need to implement, you know, more restrictive measures on single family residential development.
You know, I think these are kind of two different topics, permeable versus non-permeable services, with the discussion of, you know, real grass versus a synthetic grass, which are both permeable surfaces. You know, I mean, impermeable, that's a building code thing and how much lot coverage you can get. From the sustainability standpoint, I think it's a completely different topic, really.
You could put in impermeable turf. You could put in fake turf on your concrete. Yeah. So they are related. So there's, like, think of it as a Venn diagram.
But most of the stuff that I've seen that, like in the backyards, they're all permeable. You know, they have that substrate of gravel and all this and that, and you have to hose them down. And, you know, there's, you know, some, you know, buildup, almost like a patio. Patios can also be somewhat permeable, you know, just with the grout joints, you know, it's not really concrete, I guess. But
I had turf steps when I moved into my house. It was turf over concrete. It was a really nice look.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, but I still, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess, but the permeable, non-permeable, yeah, that is a big thing as far as neighbors go with drainage issues and stuff like that. Yeah. Artificial turf, just as a thing, I don't know, that's, you know, bringing that up as far as the sustainability, I think is a separate discussion, maybe separate, but connected, but separate discussion.
This also seems like a really good, you know, within this conversation, a really good opportunity to educate and inform about rain gardens and maybe, you know, give residents some guidance if that's something they've heard about how to put in a rain garden. I recently went on the West Cook Wild Ones garden tour, and one of the houses in particular was just these, you know, two huge rain gardens, which had alleviated flooding both for the homeowner and for their neighbors. So mm-hmm. You know, something a lot of people don't, I mean, we have the bioswales, but some people aren't very tuned in about that. So I just think that would be nice in this conversation. It's always good to have, I think when you're telling people not to do something, it's always good to have something positive, because they can be really beautiful. They're not necessarily that expensive, and mm-hmm. it's a nice way to go. So.
Yeah, I love that idea about the rain gardens. And I agree that the whole permeable, non-permeable, I agree with Carrie that they're connected but potentially separate discussions. I have two questions for you, Jeff, though. I thought there already was like a thing about you couldn't cover more than a certain percentage of your lot with non-permeable.
Only just cover, like, so much of your lot, the zoning thing, and I think that has to do with like building space. It's your garage plus your house can only take up a certain percentage.
So are people required right now to pull permits for hardscaping, or you're saying no?
Absolutely, they're required to pull a permit. Patio creeps to a certain size and scope, or if it's really close to an adjacent property where we think there might be an issue from a drainage perspective, then we'll require a grading plan along with it, where we see site topography beforehand and then proposed elevations for where it's going to be after. So we require a grading plan in some cases, but everybody who's putting a patio in or any kind of hardscaping or even landscaping that's changing grades, they're all required to get a permit, and then the grading plan element of that permit is subject to staff.
But I believe the lot coverage ordinance is anything that has a roof, like a screen and porch, which might, you know, be outside places. But I think that's where it comes in. Lot coverage, the percentage of your lot that can be covered, I think.
But are you saying there's no criteria for whether the hardscaping is allowed or not?
Correct. It's, at this point, it's subject to staff's review and whether or not staff believes that it would create any adverse impact for neighboring properties or the public right.
And so if staff assesses that, then you deny the permit?
Deny the permit, or more likely try to work with the applicant
to change
scale it down or kind of offset, you know, put some sort of storage in so that the runoff can be off.
Okay.
that, you know, adjacent.
And one thing to note with Dominican, when they put in their turf, they actually also put in permeable pavers for all of their parking as an offset.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, you did share the updated ordinance with the Sustainability Commission as an FYI. Just so you know. I don't know if you remember that, you shared with us. You know, the update, when you updated to try to align our rules with MRC, whatever that organization is, you shared it with us.
That's right. Yes, I did come to this group and present that beforehand as well. Correct.
Do you know what year that was?
It had to be 2019 or 2020, because I was just on the committee. I could probably look back and find it.
Okay.
So kind of another round of that coming with the Stormwater Master Plan, but, you know, depending on what the consultant's recommendations are and then what, you know, staff tries to tack onto that, the tone of that conversation could be different. But if I have a vote, and frankly, I'll be the one looking at the master plan before anybody else, I think it's at least worth revisiting that conversation.
Can we put in a requirement for storage
on a single family residential basis?
So what kind of storage would that be?
We're talking things like rain gardens or things like dry wells, which is just a big pit filled with big open stone where the water can infiltrate and fill in the void space. A buried cistern, which is just a big plastic tank that has perforations at the bottom that has space that water can occupy before it exits the property.
Huh. Can we get an update on the stormwater plan when it's finalized?
So I think first the stormwater master plan, when it's finalized, when the consultant is, they're calibrating the model right now. So part of what they do is calibrate our sewer system out in the field. They make a computer model of that. We have flow monitors that have been in place for several months now. So as we get rain events, we can see how much the pipes fill up. Mm-hmm. We can start to calibrate the model based on what we see in real time conditions. And so they get a picture of how adequate or inadequate our sewer system is. We then have to have a discussion at the board level about what level of protection does the village want to achieve. Because then, once they know what level of protection we want to achieve, now they can start to put together capital improvement project recommendations to achieve mm-hmm. that level of protection. So there's going to be a whole lot of back and forth with the board and then the commission about that. But absolutely, this will be a very big, well-discussed report when it is finalized.
Can I ask you another question on this? Is it beneficial, you know, during huge downpours for people to not do things like run laundry machines and dishwashers and stuff? Or is that just minor to what's coming down?
Yeah, somewhat of a drop in the bucket. No pun intended. When we get a heavy rain event, it's a lot of water. And if memory serves, we did some sewer modeling when we did the big sewer separation project up north several years ago. Sewers were on the mag. You hear the term 100-year event, a 50-year event.
Yeah.
I think our sewers up there were found to be inadequate for like a 2-year or a 5-year event. It was something on that magnitude. I could be wrong, but I think it was really egregious.
Yeah.
So when you look at it like that, you know, every event, not every event, but most of the events that we get, while small, they're getting more and more intense. You know, even we get a 1-inch rainfall over a day, is, you know, running the laundry, you know, a washing machine really going to move the needle? No, not really. The bigger hurdle is things like sump pumps and downspouts.
Mm.
Everybody's got a sump pump and downspout directly connected to their sewer. That's a constant flow during a rain event, especially a sump pump. There's no telling how much water that's pulling up. So we don't have enough staff to go police that proactively. There are a lot of connections that are still made that are prohibited by ordinance that are kind of, we'll call them grandfathered in. But on every development permit that we get where there's an addition, we require as part of the permit that any downspout or sump pump that is currently connected be disconnected as part of that development, just to try to kind of chip away at this thing over time.
So where should the sump pump water go?
Charged within the limits of the property, again, in a manner that doesn't adversely impact the neighboring property, the public right.
Well, it seems like an area with like a lot, you know, you've already put a lot of careful thought in it, but maybe it'd be a good area to just kind of keep informed on, or, you know, educated. And then if there's input or support from the commission needed, that's something that could be discussed. I'll leave that to Eric.
That's five. And then next we kind of roll into communications with the draft web page. So if you bear with me for a minute, I will share my screen and try to pull that.
And after we do the web page, I do want to make sure to come back to the actual e-newsletter write-ups that are due coming up. Oops, did we lose them? Or that's screen sharing.
You all at home see the draft webpage? Susan, Carrie, can you guys see that draft webpage on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why those two screens are.
Oh, that's all right. So. Well, I'll give a quick overview, and then, you know, Susan, who worked together with me on this, can chime in. But I guess that we were trying to achieve kind of a simpler, cleaner look. So what you see is actually that opening paragraph text probably has to be tweaked. But the idea is that the little chart there is things that are time-based. Right, like the Arbor Day, you know, happens in the spring, doesn't happen in the winter. And the items that are on here, I don't know if these are all necessarily the right items. Like, I think I would tend to only put on here things that are specific calendar based, but or seasonal. But the concept is there's like a little chart here that is for the time based things. And then if you can scroll down a little bit, Jeff, there are five categories of things that are, you know, just these general categories of things that you would want to know how to do. And then each of those, if you click on, I don't think she built the pages yet, but if you were to click on one of those, then the idea is that it would start to take you to all of the detail. And we still need to go through and kind of clean up this content. But right now, all of this content is kind of sitting in a big giant scroll on the homepage. So, and Sarah found these really cute little graphics. I think that there was kind of a, I was kind of the mind like less is more, but Susan, maybe you want to explain kind of the alternative vision you had for how much we put on this homepage. You're on mute.
I've kind of come around. I think this looks good.
Oh, okay. then the menu at the top on the right-hand side, that follows the little blue boxes, right? And then as you click on the blue boxes, then that menu would, I think, still be there on the other pages. Yep. And then once we do this, the idea would be to not let other things creep onto that right-hand menu, which is what has kind of happened now, is that that menu list is long, gets longer and longer. It doesn't completely match up with the scroll. I think we would love to have some feedback and some thought on if this structure generally looks good, then we would move to the next phase of, you know, cleaning up the specific content.
And I would just add that the general idea is that I think there are different things that are hard and easy for different people. So by giving people sort of a menu of, you know, in this category, these are all the different things you could do. They could say like, wow, I could do that. And, you know, instead of just sort of going through systematically, like, you know, just a list of all different things. So
I give you guys
feedback.
I give you guys so much credit. It's so good. It was like you had a big pile of 10 years of information that you organized. And it really, it feels like it's so user-friendly in that way. When I saw it, yeah.
Well, it'd be pretty exciting to start sending people to the website when they have questions. Right now, I never send people to the website. But I think that previously, Carrie, you had some great feedback about the things that are easy to do versus hard to do. And I think, Ellie, you brought up like things that are, you know, less or more expensive to do. And I did briefly attempt to think about whether there was some way to organize the content that way, but I think it's very difficult to put things on a spectrum like that for every single item. So I think after we get this organized, what we could potentially do is if somebody wants to come up with like a cute icon to represent something that is either inexpensive to do or very sort of easy to do, that we, you know how like when you go to the restaurant and you get the little icons with the peppers that say this is spicy, right? Or this is like gluten-free or low calorie. Maybe we could sort of, you know, do that for certain things, right? Like if you're looking for an easy way to get started, look for the things with the little whatever, you know.
But I don't even necessarily know if the same things are easy, you know, for different people. I mean, you know, if you have a household of one versus a household of six, it's very different what's easy, you know? So it's almost better just to let them decide. Like these are all the different things and, you know, try one, you know, try one in each category and just... That might be another way to go.
Oh, I love that. The try one in each category. Yeah. Eventually you could have like a little bingo card game, right?
Exactly. Could give out little.
You do one from each category.
We could give out little eco prizes.
Okay. Well, again, I'll make sure that Eric gets a chance to see it. But if it seems like a good structure, Susan and I will keep plugging away so that we can hopefully go live in, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure what our timetable is.
And then I think we would need everyone's help with content. Like maybe we could divvy it up
and have
different people add content in different categories. And I'm sure there's much more stuff that we haven't included. Yeah, much more. You know, many. This is just what we came up like off the bat, but with all of our heads in it, I think we could come up with more.
Yeah, a lot of the content is already there, but I think we want to apply kind of a strong editing eye to it to make it accessible. Ellie, did you have any thoughts?
I completely agree that it seems very user-friendly. I feel like with the little icon thing, it is very cute, but I feel like it could deter people from all of the other options that don't have the icon. Because even if it is like easier or more cost effective, anyone like wants to do easier and more cost effective. So yeah, I feel like letting them like explore all the different areas.
Cool. That'll be easier anyway.
But the icons were on the, can you go back to that? But the icons were on the higher level stuff, right? Isn't that how?
Yeah, I think Ellie's just saying it's not necessary to try to put little icons next to specific activities.
They're not next to the activities. They're next to the, you know, the overall concept.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was next to like each activity.
No, it's just and then if you click on, then you get something that has more detail for each of these things. So this is just a higher level look at, you know, the different things that you can do.
Okay. I think the icons are very cute.
They are cute. She did a good job.
Yes, she did.
I'll let her.
And I think anything that breaks up like a wall of text, you know, even like the, you know, the blue and everything, it just makes it, you know, just so much easier to look at. So.
Yeah, Sarah really deserves a lot of credit because we tried reorganizing it first with like most of the content still on there. And she's like, well, I've reorganized it, but I think it's still a wall of text. And so Susan and I met with her one day, her almost last day, and she spent like an hour with us and pretty much created most of this on the fly with us. So yeah, please give her our thanks again, Jeff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just wanted to give, Ellie a reference too, if she hasn't already seen it. There's a place, I think it's Instagram, but it might be another venues as well. It's called Go Green, Save Green. And it gives, because you were going to write an article on sustainable issues that save money. So that might be a good source, Go Green, Save Green.
And, you know, Susan, looking at this now under the green ecosystem, we could create a rain garden. That would be cool.
Rain garden, if you go underneath, it's under one of the other ones. It's under
water.
I
saw it underwater. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, what are the other categories? Like, because you. Yeah, good. Can you just scroll down?
Categories? That's it. There's
that
just
was
five.
Those five.
Yeah.
The additional content was these buttons, which five.
Thank you.
And we can always add for, you know, again, this was just what we came up sort of first pass and certainly add to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this page is supposed to get at that, you know, it used to be reduce, reuse, recycle, but now it's refuse, reduce, reuse, repurpose, recycle. And it's in that order. So recycling is the lowest level of sustainability. You know, refusing, like just purchasing less, acquiring less is the top. So
does it say refuse somewhere?
This one says compost.
Well,
Beth needs to answer that.
I kept reading it as refuse, you know, it confused me. So,
But I think it would be. I mean, I think if you looked at the categories underneath, it would be clear. But whatever, this is what we have at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can work on this.
We can work on it.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody. Before I give up the floor, I would like to talk about the e-newsletter write-up, and there are Jeff. I wrote to Matt, but we are a little off cycle. I'm not sure if Shannon sent him this week's write-up, and usually we get it to the staff by 8 a.m. on Monday. So I think my question for just this particular week is, has the drop-dead deadline passed? Because if it has, there might just not be a sustainability item, or if it goes out on Fridays and he can still take something tomorrow, I guess I'm not sure, but I will talk to Matt first thing in the morning. Okay.
And see if there's.
Yeah, I apologize. It's actually the first time that we've missed a deadline. But then the next 2 weeks for this month, Charlotte was supposed to be doing another in the series about waste, and then Eric was going to do another one on community solar. So I've sent reminders to both of them. And then Eric was going to do single-use plastic ordinance for the September monthly. But again, I kind of have to check with Matt because the deadline used to be second Mondays, which would have been this past Monday. But I'm not sure how hard that deadline was because it's like a weird five-week month. So that takes us through the first week of September. And then I think we said we would do a series of the waste and the solar, so that would cover two of the weeks. Let me pull up my calendar for a second. September has, well, the monthly will actually run on September 2nd, and then after that there are 4 weeks. So if one of those is taken with waste and one is taken with community solar, are there suggestions for topics for the other 2 weeks?
Beth, when is leave the leaves thing?
You know, I am really sorry because my computer died, and so I can't open the calendar.
Because I had it on my calendar for getting it to you by the 29th of August.
Oh, really?
But I don't know how many words or what that was for. I don't know why.
Okay, that seems early, but I'll have to check the calendar when I can open my sort of editorial calendar. But that would be great if you're working on that. Did we say that was going to be a weekly or a monthly write-up? I'm really sorry. My computer died, and so I can't bring the thing up. Unless, Jeff, can you bring it up? It's on, like, the Google Drive under communications. There's, like, an editorial calendar. Otherwise, I'm just going to have to follow up with each of you separately.
I don't think I've seen that before.
Okay. If it's the weekly write-up, Carrie, it's only 100 words. If we said it was going to be for one of the monthly ones, then it's 200 to 350 words.
Right. And yeah. Sarah, if you let me know. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So potentially one of those is a September topic, or if we actually get this sustainability story swap thing going, I guess we could use one of those weeks to publicize it. And
Yeah, because it does seem early. I don't know why it was on there, because usually that's like October or November.
Yeah, it seems early. I'll have to check that, and I'll send you an email later tonight, Carrie.
Oh, but you can do it tomorrow, Beth. That's okay.
Okay. Well, I think the problem last time was I didn't do it right after the meeting, and then I got really busy at work, and I forgot to remind everybody, so nothing. Forgot to send them their deadlines. But, okay, so if there are other topic suggestions for September, let me know. And, you know, as Eric put in his request, I think that this kind of responsibility for running the content would be a really great one to rotate. So, you know, if somebody is willing to kind of take a turn at it, I'd really appreciate that.
Beth, I wonder if it would be easier to separate, to have one person do monthly and one do weekly, and if that might make it a more manageable job.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a good idea too. I was sort of trying to think about ways to divvy it up. You know, I don't want to give up the slots that we've been given to get the word out, right? So that's actually a good idea.
So would you be willing to keep monthly?
Sorry?
Would you be willing to continue to do monthly?
Sure. I think that seems more manageable. Yeah.
And then maybe weekly, we could maybe each take a month. Does anybody think that sounds good? Like we just sort of rotate through and maybe it could be sort of, you know, like Carrie is leave the leaves. So maybe like autumn is a good time for you. And since I'm in the garden, maybe spring I could do. And
is it out of line? Mean like each commissioner would take like a month or two or something like that? Is that what you're saying?
Could be two. Yeah. I mean, or whatever people just, we could either cycle through 1 month each and then you do it, you know, maybe twice in a year, or we could take 2 months.
And is it out of line to say that if a calendar is set for what we want to talk about, that it has to change every year? Mm-hmm. Can it be?
I mean, I think that's what Lisa tried to build. And I think I was going off of a lot that she had, but still there are things that, I don't know, change, right? I mean, there are the things where you can say, oh yes, in April, we're going to do something about Earth Day. But, you know, this year we had all the stuff about community solar. That wasn't a thing last year, right? Mm-hmm. So there is an editorial calendar that has like a baseline in there. And I saved Lisa's stuff and there's kind of one being built for 2022. And so, yeah, those are some great ideas actually about how to divvy it up so that it's not so much like,
well, building off Carrie's point, maybe like within a month, three spots could be, you know, sort of updated from the previous year. And then we'd leave one open spot for something that was more current.
Yeah. It could be something like that.
And if we did that, that would be pretty manageable too, because really you're just editing three things and then, you know, and maybe even what make it easier still is if that same person wrote that and then there's no, you know, cause there's always time and coordination. So you update three from the previous year and then you write one year month and then it passes on to the next person.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, really there's two elements to it. One is kind of coming up with the topics and making sure that they kind of lay in correctly in terms of time and what they're also, what else may be going on. And then the other is just sort of the logistical thing, like the stuff that we're talking about tonight is reminding people of their deadlines. And somehow if we either just all get that more into our bloodstream, or if a person is responsible for a particular month, then maybe, you know, maybe instead of trying to divvy things up so much, one person can just be responsible for that month and then they can keep track of their own deadlines. You know, I mean, I like the direction you're going of dividing it up. I would think I was thinking more like, oh, we would rotate responsibility for the overall thing, but it's a lot. So breaking it up makes a lot more sense, actually.
Jeff, can you quickly write this into the job description of that new person that's coming?
Not about to scare that person off. No, I've got plenty of work for that person to do. More than enough.
Well, I will say that the critical things that Sarah did is we did have a system, which maybe I can demonstrate at the next meeting so everyone's familiar with it, of there's a running Google Doc where the content goes in there. And right now it's been a little hard for me to explain to everybody how to get into it. So, you know, it kind of comes to me, then I put it in and she pulls it from there. She really did pull the images much of the time from us. I mean, I think she wanted us to all supply photos and images if it was something we were working on. But, you know, Jeff, just sort of as a realistic thing, because of copyright issues, if it was going to be stock images, I think that was something that Sarah always made sure of. And the people who were writing it, you know, I guess I found that sometimes I would just need to either remind people or do a light edit of the headline or the number of words. But Sarah was really great about just casting an eye over it. And sometimes, you know, she would catch something that was or wasn't consistent with something the village was doing. So for the new person, I hope that, you know, they'll kind of bring that same level of editorial review to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would envision at this point, losing Sarah was a big blow. So at this point, I'm kind of just trying to stabilize. And once we get this new member on board, I certainly want to get him up or was doing for this group, along with all the other tasks that he has ahead of him. I'd kind of like to not put too much new stuff on him right out of the gate, just because there is so much that he needs to get up to speed on.
Sure.
Just to meet the baseline. But certainly things that the editorial stuff and the staff related stuff that Sarah was doing, I have no qualms about putting, you know, maintaining that on his plate.
So maybe an agenda item at the next meeting, which you said would be his first one, is I could just, you know, briefly explain how we've been doing it, which would be, you know, simultaneously orient him as well as kind of get it into all the commissioners' heads. This is how it's supposed to work. And, you know, if you're responsible for a particular month, then, you know, you've got to get the stuff to Matt. Mm-hmm. Or would it come to Seth then? Matt's just doing it because Sarah's not here.
Yeah, so we would still run that through Seth as it went through Sarah. And I already threw a note on here for under communications. We'll have A, the draft webpage, because that'll be going on for a while, the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw B on there, like, for e-news, the monthly and the week.
Process.
Every
yeah.
meeting you can kind of go.
Yeah, I think that was supposed to be a standing item. So we would talk about topics, but I think we're saying next time, let's go through process. And
when
you
we
know,
get to that item, that'd be, yeah, obviously that'd be the first.
Yeah, and everybody can think about it before then. And I think Eric said he would send an email out after this meeting to people who aren't here, and maybe everyone can think of taking on a chunk. Thanks for that idea, Susan.
Hey, that just leads us into other business. Does anybody else have anything new to share with the group?
I do.
Susan.
So I mentioned earlier that I went on the West Cook Wild Ones garden tour. There were three gardens in River Forest, one of which was Trailside. They're, you know, sort of natural area by the museum. I think the other one was on, I mean, I went there just, I think was on Forest. It was a beautiful garden. And then the third one was David Hoyt, who we've been working with on the West Cook Wild Ones. He's on Lathrop. I believe it's between Chicago and Augusta. And some of you may have seen on the east side of the street, there's a, you know, kind of like a little prairie going there. But he has, have you seen it, Carrie?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
all
cool.
The yellow flower, the black-eyed Susans are there now?
Yeah. So he explained to me, it's really much more diverse than it looks, but it's just that in order to make it look like something the first year, they put in the black-eyed Susan so that the first year, you know, you get sort of this blast of color, but over time it will be much more diverse. So
does he have pathways in between like three big areas or something?
He's working on that, some stepping stones. He actually has many areas. Like the newest one is the patch in front. He's got something closer to the house, and then he's got other ones in back. But
yeah, it's so interesting. It's such a formal house, you know.
Yeah,
okay,
I give
that
him
again.
It's on Lathrop on the east side of the street between Chicago and Augusta, and you can't miss it because it's just this you know, flash of yellow, and it's really gorgeous. And I think it was a real hit on the garden tour, and I give him a lot of credit for convincing mm-hmm. his wife to let him do that on later.
Yeah.
But anyways, he wanted me to ask you about what the village policy was on burns, on controlled burns.
That's a question he needs to ask our fire marshal.
That's a fire marshal question. Okay,
well, wait a minute, I have a story about that. I bought a great big blowtorch and a propane tank. And Lisa, I don't know if you noticed me burning my lawn like 2 years ago. And this is, it could be a sustainability thing of Beth's, you know, get together. But I tried to kill, I just tried to kill the weeds, and it looked like a moonscape in my front yard. And it didn't really, and maybe, I mean, my yard is better this year than almost any other year. So maybe all these things really did help, but it didn't help really, I don't think, burning. I don't know what he wants to get rid of, but it did not help my creeping Charlie. It did not help Daniel.
No, it would be like a controlled burn on this prairie area where you know you have it surrounded. You know, I don't know exactly how it's done, but you have it surrounded by water. I imagine you would have a fire truck parked there, you know, before it happened. But I know that there's a history of one, because there was somebody who lived on Ashland just south of the tracks who did this for, you know, profession. And they did burn it. I'm not sure they got permission. I mean, they were like 3 feet tall. I'm not sure they got permission before they did it, but they did do a controlled burn in front of their house. So anyway, so you're saying I need to go. Also, there's another resident who has quite a bit of poison ivy in their yard asking for a friend. And they were also wondering about the control.
You're not supposed to burn poison ivy.
You're not?
No.
Oh, because it sends the...
The smoke is then gets the into oil, everybody and the smoke is,
the
yeah.
Oil, the oil.
Mm-hmm. The oil, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where do I take that question?
I think we have to be careful also, because if every house in this village did a controlled burn, our fire department has other things to worry about. So I think we have to, you know, again, like when we're talking about this, is think about, like, I don't know, like, again, maybe you could have a day, but I
it would be interesting to know what they're trying to get rid of. You know, I mean, because we're here in a residential area, you know, what are they trying to get rid of? And is that the best way to do it?
Well, it is. This is David Hoyt, and it is specifically in this area that he's growing these things, because over time what happens, it's like a seed thing that you put down. The park district has done this as well, and it works for 2 or 3 years, and then it just sort of converts over into weeds. So what it does is the native plants will survive, and the non-native stuff does not. That's what he's trying to achieve. But I mean, it's an established thing. I think it's unlikely that, you know, however many households in the village are going to want to have a controlled burn. But I'm just asking what the process is, and at this point, not.
I'm not aware that we have one already. There's no specific permit for controlled burns in our system. But I, first and foremost, I mean, I would run that through Kevin Wiley, our fire marshal.
Okay, I'll talk to him.
And certainly be the one to talk to about that.
Okay, and I'll report back what he says about burns.
And the other thing I just want to bring to your attention, Jeff, is because I tried to find for Beth the editorial calendar for the Sustainability Commission. And I used to have access to Google Drive as, like, you know, I used to have Google as my personal, like a Google Drive, like email as personal, and then for the village one is gone. So I'm hoping somebody has access to it as the owner. Because I used to, and I
didn't see the calendar, but I was able to get into the shared drive, the Google Drive that was in there. So I'm not too worried about that. I think Matt's been in there as well.
Yeah, I think
some
so.
Of the communication stuff. So I'm not worried about access. We need to get you or other people, you know, re-up the access for some reason. I don't know why any of that would have changed, but we can take care of that if some of you.
Because Sarah and I actually tried to make her the owner, and I needed her her cell phone, and we never did it. So I'm not sure who's the owner right now. Because we never officially transferred.
I guess I assumed that Sarah was the owner.
And I think
she left me
her specific login information for that drive. So I think I have all of that.
No, I know. But again, I'm telling you, she's not the owner right now. Because I never gave her ownership. Like, there's a certain process you have to go to, and we never did that. So.
Are you still the owner of that?
Well, I thought I was, but I can't get into it. That's hence my...
concern, I got you now.
A little bit, because she and I were like, yeah, we have to get that done. That means you have to be up by your cell phone, because I needed to give her a code and we never did it. And I'm sure it's fine, but it just kind of concerns me that she did not take it on because I would have had to give it to her.
Fair enough. I will talk to Matt. See, between the two of us, we'll figure out who the owner is. And then if we need to figure something out, we can talk about that at the next meeting.
Yeah. And I will try to maybe if I shut down and put back, you know, and re-power up, maybe it'll show up. When all else fails, turn your computer off. And that usually works.
Any other new business? No, hearing none, you all don't really have to make an official motion, but unless anybody else has anything to share, that's kind of the adjournment. So next meeting is scheduled for September 13th. Like I said, I will be here. Hope to have Seth here as well. And in a new era here for your staff individual, and we'll go from there. So if you have any questions in the meantime, continue to reach out to me. Otherwise, we'll see you on September 13th.
So thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Bye, everyone.
Sorry.
Bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff, for stepping in.
No problem. Have a good night.
Bye.